Let's pray and ask God for his help. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your word that feeds our souls. We pray now that as we reflect on this passage in Mark's gospel, that you would give us soft hearts, help us to see Jesus clearly, and help us to follow him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever felt lost and anxious? Back in 2006, I went to Europe for a holiday. Now, the plan was to meet some of my friends at a music festival. I'm not sure what happened, but I ended up losing my ticket on my way from Singapore. And I wasn't able to get a ticket in time, and it already cost me a couple of hundred euros. So I ended up heading to a city in Eastern Europe on my own. And when I got there, I didn't have any accommodation for the night. I couldn't get in touch with my mates. I was lost. I was anxious and scared. I couldn't speak the language. I couldn't get around. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what to do. In fact, when I went out to get some food at night, walking on my own, this young guy came up to me and said to me, "Hey, you shouldn't be walking around here alone. You're a foreigner, you're Asian, people are racist here, be careful." And of course, that just got me even more worried. Have you ever felt like that? Lost and anxious. Now, maybe you've only recently moved to Australia and life's been a bit of a whirlwind. You're in a totally different country, there's a different language, all these things to get used to. Maybe you've moved into the area and still trying to get your head around reservoir. You're still trying to work out how to get to the other side of the tracks in the car. Now, of course, it's one thing to feel physically lost. But there's something worse than this, isn't there? Because sometimes life itself can feel like that, can't it? Like you don't know where you're going. Like you don't have any direction or purpose. Like you're paddling away in a boat, just going nowhere. Do you ever feel like that? Well, if that's how you're feeling today, then today's passage is so comforting because life doesn't have to be that way. Now, do you remember what we're up to in Mark's gospel? It's been a couple of weeks now. Jesus sent out his apostles on their first mission trip. Two by two, they're going out preaching from town to town the good news of repentance, getting people to turn their life around and turn to God. They're healing, they're driving out demons, doing what Jesus has been doing. And finally, they come back and give Jesus their mission update. Have a look with me from Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Now, as the apostles are updating Jesus, it seems like their whole mission trip has gone really, really well, better than expected, because people are following them in truckloads from all the towns and villages. There's crowds and crowds around them. People are coming back and forth so that they can't even get any lunch. Now, Jesus, he picks up on how they're feeling. He knows they're knackered and tired. And so he invites them to come have a rest with him in a desert place. Verse 31. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Now, as soon as they head off in the boat, notice what happens. The crowds recognize who they are. These curious crowds, they want a piece of the action. They've heard all the hype about Jesus, and they want to find out more. And so, like desperate fans trying to get the best spot to welcome someone famous, these crowds, they're running for kilometers to meet Jesus and his disciples, just as they're coming off the boat. Now, I wonder how the apostles are feeling at this point. They were just about to get some downtime with Jesus, but now all these crowds are there. Man, more people work. We're hungry. We're tired. Jesus, just get rid of these people already. Send them away. I wonder what Jesus was feeling. Well, Jesus doesn't get rid of them. He doesn't get annoyed or frustrated at these crowds. Now, verse 34 tells us how he's feeling. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus looks at them with deep compassion. Now, we can just let this wash over us. But if that was me, if I'm hungry and I'm tired and I'm all peopled out, the last thing I'd want to do is help more people. But here's Jesus. He's got this deep compassion for these curious crowds. When he looks at them, he sees sheep without a shepherd. You see, these crowds of people are lost. And not physically lost in a city like I was in Eastern Europe. No, they're spiritually lost. They're helpless. They're leaderless. They've got no direction, no purpose. They need a shepherd. And you see, this is supposed to ring some bells for us. You know, remember in the Old Testament, God sent people like Moses, like Joshua, to shepherd his people, to lead them to the promised land, to lead them into the promised land. In Numbers 27, Moses prays to God to provide a leader to take care of his people so that God's people won't be sheep without a shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, God promises to feed his sheep by sending a king like David to be their shepherd. God promises that one day he himself is going to come to shepherd his people. God's going to come in person to rule as king. You see what Mark's trying to tell us about Jesus? He's the shepherd king who's come. This is significant stuff. Because at this point, who's the shepherd they've got? Who's their king? It's King Herod, who beheaded John the Baptist. He's not a good king. He's not a good leader. He's not a good shepherd. He doesn't care for the people. But Jesus, the true shepherd, has come, the rightful king and true leader of Israel. And when he sees these crowds of people with deep compassion, you know, you'd think that the most important thing would be to meet their physical needs. You know, give them some food, some material stuff. That's the way to show compassion. But that's not what Jesus does he? Now, the first thing Jesus does is teach them. You see, that's how Jesus shows his compassion. And what's he teaching them? Well, it doesn't say. We're not sure, but most likely he's teaching them about the kingdom of God. That's what we've seen all along in Mark's gospel, the good news that he's come to rescue sinners, the good news that he's come to give people rest, a permanent rest in him. He's the shepherd, shepherding his sheep. And again, we're seeing the priority over Jesus preaching, over healing. What they need most, their greatest need is eternal life with Jesus in the kingdom to come. Jesus has come as the true shepherd, the new Moses, to bring people into his kingdom. Jesus looks at these crowds and he sees sheep without a shepherd. Now, I wonder what Jesus sees when he looks around at our world today. What do you think? I wonder what you see when you look around at the world today. Maybe you see people who are very comfortable. Life's quite good. Everything is going okay and well. People have purpose. They've got direction. Doesn't really seem like they need a shepherd. But you see, Jesus' assessment of the world is quite different, isn't it? It doesn't matter how much you think people have life sorted. If they don't know Jesus, if they don't follow him and trust in him, really, they're lost. They're spiritually lost. Because even if they've got life sorted in this world, the more important question is this. Have they got life sorted for the next world? And Jesus says that is the most important question. And if you don't have life sorted for the next world, Jesus says you're a sheep without a shepherd. People are lost without Jesus. He's the only person who can lead us to heaven, who can give us a deep rest that can't be found in this world. So Jesus is teaching the crowds. But now it's getting late in the day, it's getting dark. And they're in the outskirts of Galilee. There's no shopping centres around. There are no 24-hour supermarkets open, no Maccas down the road. The disciples are getting peckish, hungry. And they suspect the crowds are as well. They're getting a bit concerned. Jesus, maybe it's time to send people back home to get some dinner. But notice what Jesus says to them. Verse 37. He answered, "You give them something to eat." You know, rather than relieving the crisis, Jesus just intensifies it. "You go and do something about it," he says to the disciples. And of course, that is an impossible command. There's a big crowd out there. We're talking 5,000 hungry blokes who aren't just vegetarians. A few greens isn't going to cut it. Add in another 5,000 women and children and some hungry teenagers. Jesus, you're out of your mind. That's $5 a head for a cheeseburger and a Coke. Around 10,000 people, that's going to cost $50,000, 8 months of a salary. Jesus, are you crazy? Jesus says to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and find some." And so they come back with 5 loaves and 2 dried fish. And Jesus sits them down in groups of hundreds and fifties on the green grass. And this reminds us of what Moses did in the desert, where he divides Israel up into groups of hundreds and fifties. Jesus says grace, he thanks God for the food, and he gets the disciples to serve everyone. And then the impossible becomes possible. The food goes around and around and around and around in the crowds. The bread just keeps on coming and coming, and the fish keeps on coming and coming. I'm not sure how it all happened, whether it was when the disciples just passed the food around, just kept on multiplying, or whether Jesus multiplied it all beforehand. I mean, it's impressive, isn't it? Now, I'm sure some of you can always stretch a meal if visitors turn up at your door. But 5,000 men. I mean, there's no fanfare, there's no abracadabra, but it's an amazing miracle. Because notice what verse 42 tells us. After Jesus provides this banquet, everyone is stuffed like Christmas Day lunch. Verse 42, they all ate and were satisfied. And there's even more left over. 12 basketfuls for the doggy bag to take home. He's Jesus, the shepherd who leads his sheep, who feeds them spiritually, teaching them about the kingdom of God, but also physically, providing for their physical needs. You know, we've heard this story so many times, haven't we? In Sunday school, growing up, it's just so familiar with us. And we can just let this story wash over us. But when you think about what Jesus does here, it is an amazing miracle, isn't it? I mean, just think about this. Just before this story, King Herod had a banquet in his palace, and it's all to pump up his own position, his reputation. It's invite only with the important people. Herod has this self-serving and deadly party. He's at the whim of others. But look at Jesus. It's a totally different banquet. It's not to pump up his own position, but to serve others. It's not invite only, but for everyone, no matter who they are. He's Jesus, the true shepherd king who's come. And how compassionate is he? I mean, that is a shepherd worth following, don't you reckon? That is a leader worth following. But not only that, Jesus isn't just extremely compassionate, he's also extremely patient. Because what we see next is some distraught disciples who've got hard hearts. You see, now that everyone's been fed and they're satisfied with the tuna sandwiches, it's time for them to go home. So while Jesus hangs back and sends the crowd off, he gets his disciples to go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. He goes up to a mountain to pray. And then around 3 a.m. in the morning, Jesus is alone. It's dark. And somehow he sees the disciples struggling, paddling away in the boat, but there's a strong wind. They're paddling away and they're just getting nowhere. They're really struggling. And so Jesus goes out to where they are. They're just like taking a stroll in a park. Jesus is walking on the lake like it's normal stuff. I mean, this is amazing. The one who calms the raging storm is now walking on the lake. Notice what Mark says here in verse 48. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them. Now that sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? He was about to pass by them. What does that mean? Seems like the disciples are in the boat, see Jesus pass by. You know, you'd expect Jesus to stop and give them a hand. What does it mean? Is Jesus sort of cruising along and he's about to overtake them like a pea plater showing off or something? Is he passing by? He's just going to leave them in the lake straining at the oars. Well, this phrase is supposed to ring some bells for us. Because do you remember what happens in the Old Testament? God passes by Moses at Mount Sinai. It's right after the people build the golden calf. Moses gets so angry, he breaks the Ten Commandments and he burns the calf in the fire. And even after this, God forgives the people. And then he gets Moses to come up on the mountain with the new stone tablets. And it's there that God reveals his glory. It's there that God passes by Moses. You see what Mark's trying to tell us about Jesus? Jesus is revealing his glory to the disciples. Jesus is revealing who he is, his true identity. And he's nothing less than the God of the Old Testament who's come in flesh. I mean, that is a very humbling thing for God to do. Just think about it. To become one of us. You see, on the mountain, Moses only saw the back of God. He couldn't see his face because God's glory would wipe him out. But he's Jesus in the flesh with hands and feet, with a face that people can touch. And now he's walking on water. But the disciples see Jesus pass by, and what happens? Did you notice? They completely freak out. They're distraught disciples. Just like when they were on the boat in the storm and they're scared out of their wits. The same thing happens here. They see Jesus and they don't recognize him. They think he's a ghost. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. But Jesus relieves their fears, doesn't he? He hops in the boat and the wind dies down straight away. He's got total control and power over the sea. But again, it's not just some miracle we're supposed to see. There's something more that Mark's showing us. Verse 51. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus says, "It is I." Now, does that ring any bells again? That's how God in the Old Testament identifies himself. Remember what he says to Moses in the burning bush. "I am who I am." And that's what Jesus is saying here. Literally, it is "I am." Again, Mark's trying to show us who Jesus is. And there's no guesswork. He's nothing less than the God of the Old Testament who's come. The disciples are completely amazed. They're completely surprised. Just like what happened the first time in the boat when Jesus rebukes the storm. Here, they're completely flabbergasted. And did you notice why? Verse 51 tells us, they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. You see, they were scared, they were terrified, because they didn't understand the whole feeding of the 5,000. They were scared and terrified because their hearts were hardened. Now, did you understand what the loaves were all about? Is your heart hardened? Because you see, if the disciples understood what the first miracle was about, they would have understood the second one. They would have been in the lake paddling away, and when they saw Jesus walking in the water, they wouldn't have been scared. They'd have been like, "Hey, that's Jesus walking in the water. Of course, that's what God does." Job chapter 9 verse 8 says, "He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea." It's God who walks on water. But the disciples missed the point, didn't they? They saw the feeding of the 5,000 with their own eyes. I mean, they were dishing out the tuna sandwiches that kept on multiplying. But they missed the whole point. Jesus, the true shepherd of Israel, has come. But they missed the point. Their hearts were hardened. I mean, it just shows how patient Jesus is, doesn't it? They still don't get it. They still don't understand who he really is. But Jesus the shepherd, he's compassionate. He's patient. And we see it again in the last section of this passage, don't we? As soon as they land and get out of the boat, these desperate crowds flock to him. You know, Jesus is really the talk of the town. He can't get any more famous now. And people are carrying the sick. People are coming to get healed of their sickness. These desperate crowds still don't know who Jesus really is. They still don't get it. They're seeing Jesus as just some genie in a bottle, some miracle worker, but he heals them. Have a look with me at those last verses, verse 56. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. You can see how compassionate and patient Jesus is, even letting people touch his cloak to get healed. And so can you see what's here in this passage? Jesus looks at these curious crowds of people and he sees sheep without a shepherd. He shows compassion by feeding them spiritually. He teaches them about the kingdom of God. And then he feeds them physically. The distraught disciples, they're out in the boat struggling. So Jesus goes out to help them, but he sees their hard hearts. Now, we've been going through Mark's gospel in the last couple of months. Jesus has been doing things only God himself can do. He's driving out demons. He's calming the storm. He's healing people. He's raising the dead. Now, do you reckon you understand who Jesus is yet? Or is your heart hardened to Jesus' true identity? Can you see that Jesus isn't just some nice guy? He didn't just come to give us some good moral advice. No, he is God who's come to us in person. He is the good shepherd king who's come, bringing good news of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. In John's gospel, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." You see, Jesus has come to lay down his life for us by dying on the cross for our sins. Because we were like sheep who've gone astray. We've left the comfort and safety of living life with our shepherd. And we've gone our own way. We've gone and listened to the voice of other things. Things we might think are good shepherds. Things we might think are going to truly give us that deep meaning and satisfaction in our lives. But of course, nothing on this earth delivers. No amount of money, not any golden career path, not any earthly relationship can deeply satisfy us. I like what Martin Lloyd-Jones, the Welsh Protestant minister, says this: "We have gone astray. We do not know where we are, only that we are not where we're meant to be. The world is not enjoying fellowship with God. It is unhappy. Griefs and sorrows sum up the whole of life today, do they not? The world does not understand itself. It does not understand life. It has no purpose. It has no sense of direction and no goal. The world is confused. The world is bewildered. But each person is trying to find a way out. Each one is seeking a way of relief. There is humanity with its awe, its learning and sophistication, but no direction, no answer, no solution." Now, is that how you're feeling today? Are you feeling lost about life, confused, bewildered, trying to seek a way out, a way of relief, but having no answers? Well, let me ask you, have you considered who Jesus is? Have you taken a careful look at him? It's only Jesus, the true shepherd, who can give us this deep rest. It's only Jesus who says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul." And isn't that what you want? Jesus is the one who can lead us and get us into the promised land of heaven. Friend, the message of Jesus is clear. If he is not your shepherd, you are lost. And he's come to find you. You are a sinner in need of a saviour. You are a sheep without a shepherd. And so you're going to follow him. You're going to put your trust in Jesus as the King and Shepherd of your life. Or is your heart going to stay hard to who Jesus really is? You know, is there something that's keeping you from seeing Jesus for who he is? Is there something in the way of you submitting to Jesus as your King? Is your heart hardened? You know, maybe you've had bad experiences in life where you trusted and followed people who disappointed you. Someone in leadership, someone in authority. Friend, Jesus is someone you can trust, someone you can follow. For many of us today who know Jesus as our shepherd, I mean, this passage is just so comforting, don't you reckon? It's comforting because we're not lost. It's comforting because we've got a shepherd who is leading us. We're safe and secure in the shepherd's arms. Do you know that? Do you know that God loves you and has laid down his life for you? We've got a compassionate God who loves us and cares for us deeply. You know, I reckon it's really easy to look at these disciples and think, how come they don't just get it? I mean, how can they be so slow? I mean, they've been following Jesus around and seeing all these miracles. But you know what? I reckon maybe our hearts can get hardened, just like the disciples. Maybe if we see Jesus, the shepherd, for who he is, we wouldn't feel so anxious about life. Maybe if we see Jesus for who he is, the shepherd who's laid down his life for us, we wouldn't feel like life is so tough. You see, there's actually nothing God can't do for us. He's done the hardest thing, the impossible, giving himself up for us to get us into the promised land of heaven. You see, that is where we're going. That's what he's promised. He hasn't promised us a pain-free life. He doesn't promise that our physical lives will be sorted, that everything in life is going to be great. He promises that the shepherd will get us to the promised land of heaven. So are you going to continue to follow the shepherd? Are you going to continue to trust in him, even in the difficulties of life? You know, where you're like the disciples in the boat, and sometimes it just feels like you're paddling away against a strong wind and you're not going anywhere. When you're struggling with physical or mental illnesses that are just so debilitating, are you going to continue to trust in the shepherd who's leading you, who's guiding you? Not to an easy and pain-free life, but in paths of righteousness. It's Psalm 23, isn't it? Friends, it is so comforting. We're safe and secure with Jesus, our shepherd. But you see, there's something else that's so comforting. And it's this. God is so patient with us. I mean, look at these disciples. They're in the inner circle. They've seen Jesus for months now. They've seen all the action, but they still don't get it. And yet Jesus is so patient with them. And that is so comforting for us. Because I know in my own life, I have to keep on learning the same lessons over and over again, like trusting in God, even in the uncertainties of life. Like obeying God, even though I know what I should be doing. I mean, isn't it so comforting that we've got a God who's so patient with us? Patient with our flaws, patient with our doubts, patient with our unbelief. You know, if you're here today and you're still struggling with doubts, well, Jesus is patient like no one else. So keep wrestling away to understand. Keep asking God to soften your heart, to open up your eyes to the truth and identity of Jesus. Because he's the one who can do it. He's the one who can give us eyes to see and ears to listen. Friends, Jesus, the Shepherd King, has come. He's compassionate. He's patient. He's come to give us life with him. You know, it's one thing to feel physically lost, to be lost. When I was in that city in Eastern Europe, I was lost, I was scared, I was anxious. But there's a worse feeling than that, and that is to be spiritually lost. Not knowing where you're going in this world and the next. And then one day when death casts its big shadow on us, we might feel more anxious and lost than ever. not knowing what's going to happen on the other side of death. But not if we know Jesus, our shepherd. Not if we follow Jesus, our shepherd, because he is the great comfort of the Christian message. Jesus, the good shepherd, has come, who loves us and cares for us deeply, has come to lay down his life for us. He's going to lie us down in green pastures, lead us beside still waters. He's going to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death into the promised land of heaven forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who's come to lay down his life for us, to bring us into your kingdom. Heavenly Father, help us to follow him. Help us to listen to his voice, never doubting in your goodness to us. Father, give us soft hearts, change us, and make us become more like Jesus. Pray this in his precious name. Amen. Friends, we're going to reflect on this now as we sing together, "The Lord is my shepherd."